Blog Talk Radio. thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and he's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, man. I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is.
Where there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah. The way until I read
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible show that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today reading for me, as usual, is Brother Zachariah, but you know him better as Brother Big Baby. Go ahead, Big Baby.
Grace and peace to everyone. Hope everyone had a blessed week. Hope everyone's having a blessed Sabbath day. Hope everyone is obviously edified by today's lesson.
Praise God, Big Baby. Praise God. And, of course, you know, we all appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input that you may have. And I think you'll have something to say about this one. And the title of today's class is No Cowards Allowed. That's right, you heard correctly. Today's class is titled No Cowards Allowed. And I decided to do this class for a couple of reasons. One reason being that last week, many of you know I did a class titled, so now the mark of the beast is the COVID vaccine. And it was kind of a sarcastic title because I was trying to show y'all how every generation the mark of the beast becomes something new. Now people are saying it's the COVID vaccination. A few years back and still today, people were saying it's the RF ID chip. And a few years back and still today, people are saying it's your social security number, right? And because of this, people are spreading fear around. Another reason I decided to do this class is because Many years ago, I did a class titled Bold Soldiers of Christ, and I always wanted to do a sequel to that class, you know, just go into more detail on what it means to be a bold soldier of Christ. So consider this class somewhat of a sequel to that class, but also a little bit more intense and extreme with the view. But the main reason why I wanted to do this class is because in the world we live in today, thanks to social media, people love, as I was telling y'all last week and in the class I did titled The Fear Mongers, people love to spread fear and anxiety. They love to get on social media and just scare the living daylight out of themselves and anybody who will listen to them. And people don't understand that the Bible says that this is anti-God. If you find yourself in a constant state of fear, a constant state of anxiety, then you might need to check your walk, because we're going to show you that that means you're not living righteously. If you find yourself always paranoid, always thinking that something's out to get you, always thinking that this world could just end at any moment, if you find yourself addicted to conspiracy videos that are always talking about the end of the world or some kind of insidious plan that the powers that be have for us, like depopulation or population control, whatever they want to call it, or they're trying to monitor us. If you find yourself addicted to that kind of stuff, then you might want to reexamine your walk, because you're doing something wrong. Both the Old and the New Testament, plus the Apocrypha, all emphasize that believers are not supposed to be cowards. It's not a suggestion. It is a requirement. You cannot be a believer, big baby, if you are a coward. It just can't be done. God does not want scared, timid servants. He wants outspoken, bold servants. That's why this class is titled No Coward Allowed. It's not just a clever slogan. It is the truth. No coward allowed. I know it doesn't happen overnight. You're not just going to wake up one morning after being a coward or fearful your whole life and just be the bravest person on the planet. Doesn't work like that. But understand that if you're living in a state of constant fear, either you need to get some kind of professional help, or you're living unrighteously, or both. Because we are not even supposed to fear death. And to me, that's the scariest thing next to going to hell. Right? That's what we really actually should fear. Because that's the only thing I really do fear about death is the judgment. But I'm at a point now where I really don't fear death itself. And the real reason why people fear death itself is because they're not sure of what happens afterwards. Death is a mystery to everybody. It's treading into unknown territory. That's why most people are afraid of death. More people are afraid of death itself than how they will actually die. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, think of it like this. If you knew tonight that if you fell asleep, you were going to die in your sleep with no pain or anything whatsoever, that's still a scary thought, ain't it, big baby? But the fact of the matter is, we're not supposed to be afraid of death, and we're definitely not supposed to be afraid of other people, what they will do to us, what they will say to us, or what they think about us. We're not supposed to be afraid of the news, even if it's bad. I'm going to show y'all that that's in the Bible, baby. I'm going to tell you that it says in the Bible, we're supposed to be afraid of bad news. We're supposed to be afraid of that. So if you find yourself as one of those people who are addicted to social media, always sending people links, and I'm not taking any shots at people, because everybody who sends me links, they know I'm into that stuff. And people who send me links, they ask me before, gosh, do you have a problem me sending you this stuff? Do you mind? I say no. I ain't want them to send it, but I said I'm not to send it, right? So I'm not talking to anybody who has sent me stuff. But I'm talking about the people who are addicted to this stuff, and they're sending this to everybody, and you can't do anything about it. Like I was saying last week, Big Baby, what's the point of sending me something that I can't do anything about? I can't even prepare for it. Yeah, China got these high-tech weapons. They're about to shoot a missile over here. What we going to do? What I say last week, baby? So, I mean, unless the Lord intervenes, we're going to blow the hell up. That's how, what you want me to say, Big Baby? Like I said last week, I'm not Superman. I'm not Iron Man. I can't fly and avert the missile. I can't do that. So if you find yourself constantly doing stuff like that, you are a coward. And God can't use you. We're not supposed to be walking around here spreading fear. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to be trying to give each other confidence. And I'm going to show you that. But the first thing we're going to do, because we always try to keep it as simple as possible, is we're going to go to the Webster's New Explorer College Dictionary, and we're going to look up the word coward. Why are we going to look up the word coward? Because the book is titled, I mean, the lesson is titled, No Cowards Allowed. And you need to know what a coward is, right? And this is on page 221. Look what it says. Coward. Now. One who shows disgraceful fear or timidity. It says you show disgraceful fear or timidity. And the word timidity comes from the word timid. Now let's see what the word timid means. In the same dictionary, we're going to look at the word timid. Because we got a lot of people walking around who are timid, right, when it comes to this word. Here we go. Timid is on page 1039. Timid, look what it says. Lacking in courage or self-confidence. Self-confidence. You see that? Mm-hmm. See, we're supposed to have self-confidence, but a lot of y'all are self-conscious. It says, lacking in courage or self-confidence. Fearful. Shy. You saying, Josh, it's a sin to be shy when it comes to this word. Not shy in general. When it comes to this word and this walk, yes. We're not supposed to be like that. God can't use you. Because if you are a coward, you're not going to speak up about stuff that needs to be spoken on. You're not going to say things that need to be said because you're too afraid of what people think about you or what they'll do to you or do to you. You're too afraid. We can't be timid. We can't be fearful. We can't be lacking in courage. That's what it means to be a coward, Big Baby. But now let's go to the book, and let me show you this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. Because I'm getting so sick and tired of going on social media and seeing somebody. And y'all know the only group I'm in, Big Baby, because when you're in certain groups and when you're friends with certain people on Facebook, what they post appear in your timeline. And if you're in certain groups, you get notifications when somebody posts in their group. And the only type of groups I'm in, like 99.9% of the groups I'm in, are Bible-based groups. So that means every time somebody posts something, 9 out of 10 times, it's a so-called Bible believer, right? And I'm getting so sick and tired of so-called Bible believers spreading fear. Not courage, fear. Oh, they're planning this, sisters and brothers. They're getting the chip ready. Okay, so they're getting the chip ready. What am I going to do? If the chip is the mark, turns out if the mark is the chip, I already know what my options are. Either I accept it or refuse it. And I know what happens if I refuse it. I remember at the Israel of God, they'd be so scared about the mark of the beast and the tribulation that's going to be going on during that time, they just say stuff like, some brothers say stuff like, oh, I got my bags already packed by my front door. You remember that, Big Baby? What you got your bags packed for? Because I'm going to be on my way to the wilderness. Y'all do know, just in case y'all don't understand, when the Bible talks about wilderness, 99.9% of the time, it's not talking about a forest. It's not talking about the woods. It's talking about the desert. Y'all know where a bunch of sand is and nothing grows? Hardly any water. That's what you're telling me you're going to run to. You're going to run to the desert. And last time I checked, we're in the States. We live in the United States. I don't know any way to get to the desert, big baby, that does not require either flying or going on a boat. And last time I checked, during the time of tribulation, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark. So tell me, Mr. Hebrew Israelite, how are you going to get to the wilderness if you have to show a passport? If you have to buy a ticket? How are you going to get to the wilderness? Nobody's even thinking. Well, God will provide a way. I agree. So if God will provide a way, why you got your bags by your door? You going to grab your bags and do what? What are you going to do, get in your car? The second you hit a toll booth, you screwed. You going to go through a toll booth. Oh, sir, can we see that mark? Well, I ain't got no mark. Well, you ain't get through this toll booth. And in fact, they might get on their phone. Hey, we got to unmark. You follow what I'm saying? Nobody's thinking about this. But it's that fear that has people acting like this. Fear has made people do strange things throughout history, especially people who are dealing with religion. Think about all the people who were told that America is Babylon among the Hebrew Israelites and that Babylon is about to be destroyed. People actually left America and moved to Egypt, left their entire families behind because some false prophet, yeah, I said it, scared them, turned you into a coward. But this is Proverbs 29, one verse, big baby. Listen to this, verse 25. Proverbs 29:25. Read that, please.
The fear of man bringeth a snare.
It's that the fear of man, that means a person, a human, a mortal, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare, baby? A trap. This is saying that fearing man is a dangerous trap. Continue.
Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe.
Well, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's what we're supposed to trust in. We're supposed to trust in the Lord. We're not supposed to fear man. That's a trap. And a lot of us are walking around here afraid of man. Because last time I checked, man is the one who made this COVID vaccine that everybody's afraid of. Well, mostly everybody. Man is the one who made all these weapons. You were around here, walking around here worried about these weapons. Man made those weapons, so you fear man. You worry about what a man gonna do. They're building weapons in China, Josh. They have a large military, Josh, and you're telling me this. How big is my military, big baby? I don't have one.
Right.
Why are you telling me this? And I'm not a superhero. What am I supposed to do? See, a lot of us, we worry about stuff that we can't change, that we have no control over. I have enough stuff in my life to worry about that I do have control over. To be worried about something that I can't change. You got people right now, big baby, believe it or not, who lay up in bed at night worried about something happening in another country on the other side of the planet, thousands of miles away. They worried about that. No time for that. I'm worried about how I'm going to pay these bills. I'm worried about if my children staying out of trouble. I'm worried about if I can go through my own neighborhood and avoid something happening to me. Those are real things to be worried about but not fearful about. But we don't need to understand that's a tactic of the enemy to keep us all afraid. Because when you're afraid, you don't think straight. That's why it's a trap. The fear of man bringeth a trap. That's what a snare is. But let's continue. Still in Proverbs, let's turn back to chapter 3. Because he also has advice on how to overcome fear. That's the problem with a lot of people. We get into the word, we get knowledge, and the first thing we want to do is go out and scare the hell out of everybody. You got these preachers, they call them fire and brimstone preachers. All they do is preach judgment and damnation. That's what they call them, fire and brimstone. Yes, we're supposed to fear the Lord. But then you got these Hebrew Israelites. All they want to do is preach the destruction of America. and they want to scare you, you better get on that vow. You're going to be destroyed with America. You're going to be part of the two-thirds. That's all they do is preach fear. They don't preach love. They don't preach forgiveness. They preach fear. And when you go on social media, that's all people want to hit you with mostly. Fear, fear, fear. A bunch of cowards. A bunch of scaredy cats. That's what we're surrounded by. People who would have lasted 10 minutes in ancient Israel. They would say, hey, man, what are you doing? I'm just saying, man, you know, the Canaanites, man, they got a large army, and, you know, it's a lot of them, and, you know, they're growing in number. You know what they would have said? The captain, if it was like Moses, Joshua, get out of my army. I'm going to let y'all see that. Get out of here. You can't be around us. Don't come at me spreading fear. We don't do the fear thing over here at ABC, unless you're talking about fear in the Lord. We don't do that over here. I'm not afraid of anything I can't change, and you shouldn't be either. But this is Proverbs 3, verse 1, then we're going to skip. Go ahead and read it again.
My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments.
And this is Solomon talking. He said, my son, forget not my law, which was God's laws. But let thine heart keep my commandments, because Solomon's advice was based on the law of Moses, which is the commandments of God. Right? Now, skip down, big baby, and read verses 24 and 25.
Thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid.
Is that when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Why? Go ahead.
Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
Is that yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. But it says, so shall, it said, when thou lie down, thou shalt not be afraid. Why? Because if you read this whole chapter, it's talking about how the commandments will give you wisdom, and this wisdom will give you security. It will give you peace of mind. But look what it said. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Because a lot of people, they lay up in their bed at night afraid. But look what it said in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And that'll give you the wisdom. So, big baby, this lets me know that if you're walking down the street scared all the time, or if you go to bed at night, you're scared about what's going on in this world, you're not keeping the commandments. You're not being obedient. Because according to this, it says, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. That means you're going to sleep good. You're going to sleep comfortably. Read the next verse.
Not afraid of sudden fear. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes.
It says, be not afraid of sudden fear. That means something that comes out of nowhere, right? Neither of the desolation or the destruction of the wicked when it cometh. It says, don't be afraid of this stuff, right? Verse 26.
For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
It says, for the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Remember, when we looked up this word, timid, it says, lacking in courage or self-confidence. But it says the Lord will be your confidence, meaning you'll have confidence in the Lord that'll make you brave. And it says, and shall keep your foot from being taken. In other words, he'll keep you from being ensnared. You have to believe that. But if you're having problems sleeping at night because you're afraid of what's going on in the world, man, I can't sleep. Why not, Brother Josh? Why not, Brother? Well, Brother Josh, they doing this over here in Afghanistan. Joe Biden just said this don't happen. Before that, Trump, he's on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? He's pissing off the people in North Korea, you know what I'm saying? That's what you used to see all the time. A bunch of cowards. Trying to act like you're so brave. No, you're a bunch of cowards, bunch of punks. Always walking around scared. We ain't cowards. We just telling y'all what's going on. No, you're spreading fear. Why are you telling me about what they're doing in China? Man, because we need to know. Why? So we can be prepared. How? They shoot a missile over nuclear missile over here, how can I, a civilian, be prepared for that? Unless you mean be prepared to get blown up. What do you need to do to be prepared to get blown up, big baby? You know what you need to do? Because whatever you happen to be doing when they launch the missile, that doesn't take any preparation at all. So, again, why are you showing me this? Because you are afraid of it and you want me to be afraid of it, too. No cowards allowed. Not up at ABT. We don't want any cowards. We don't need any cowards. And just because you are afraid, that doesn't mean you are a coward. Being brave doesn't mean never being afraid. Being brave means being afraid, but still do what's necessary. Because we all get afraid at some time, but you have to face your fears and conquer them. But when we talk about cowards, we mean people who are paralyzed by their cowardice. It stops them. It cripples them. That's what a real coward is, when the fear completely destabilizes them. We can't use you. We have no need for you. But let's continue. Let's go to Psalms 27. Psalm 27. Because that's what's going on now. We're living in a world where a bunch of cowards are spreading their fear like a virus. That's what they're doing. That's what I want y'all to do one day. All of y'all who have Facebook account or Instagram or Twitter, go on there and look at some of the stuff your friends are posting. And then ask them, are you a Bible believer? Most of them should be if you're friends with them. And say, why are you always posting all this stuff about, you know, doom coming and missiles and all that stuff? Why are you always posting that stuff? Why are you so interested in that? Why are you always talking about they're doing experiments, they're doing portals and stuff like that, right? Okay, that's interesting. I love reading about that kind of stuff. But you're talking about it like you're scared to death of it. Why? What can you do? Are you telling me because you want me to join up with you and try to stop their dastardly plan? No. So why are you showing? And you can always tell when a person's showing it to you. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in their eyes. They are saying, hey, man, they over here. They're making this stuff. They're making FEMA accounts. They love talking about them on social media. They're preparing the FEMA accounts. Y'all better get ready. How do we get ready? Tell me, please. Buy some guns? Okay, so let's say I buy a bunch of guns. They won't be bad enough. They send the National Guard over here. Then what? Well, I'm going down shooting, but you're going down. What's the point? If they want you, they'll get you, unless God don't want to go down like that. Why are you telling me about FEMA camp? How do I prepare for that? How do I avoid going to a FEMA camp? Tell me. Leave the country? Okay. So you're trying to tell me they ain't going to have no FEMA camp in the other country? All this stuff, you walk around here scared. Then when the news come on and it's about the real theories, now you're really scared. Because you're a coward. And what happened, big baby, is now the army of God is being led by cowards. There are no more Davids, no more Joshuas, no more Moseses. Now we're getting led by a bunch of scary men and women. That's all they want to do. If you go back, I've been thinking about doing this particular class for years. It was going to be titled The Soldier's Speech. And what I was going to do is go to certain scriptures in the Bible where I show that when Israel's about to go to war at various times in history, you always had that leader of the army or one of his lieutenants trying to encourage the people with brave and inspiring words. You never had a leader like Joshua or Moses, oh, we're going to lose. We can't win. Look at the size of them. Look what they're planning. That's what we sound like today. Scared to death. Bunch of cowards. God can't use you. God don't even acknowledge you, big baby, if you're living in constant fear. Because when you live in constant fear, that means you have no faith. Remember that class I did a long time ago? It was titled Fear Destroys Faith. If you're too afraid, The Fear Will Kill Your Faith. But I also thought about doing a class after that title, Faith Destroys Fear. Because if you really believe in God, big baby, you won't be afraid. Right? Like I said, where I think we were going, Psalms 27, we're going to read verses 1 to 3. This is David talking. That's why you got people all whacked out now. Got to take medicine for anxiety. A lot of people have problems with anxiety because they live in a constant state of fear. They live around people who are constantly pumping fear into them, or they just pump fear into themselves. If a lot of us just chill and thought about why we are afraid of things that we can't change, we wouldn't even half of us wouldn't even need the medication. People get panic attacks and everything. You ain't been in no kind of wars or anything, you get panic attacks. That's what these people are trying to do. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, when you get there, big baby, go ahead and read.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Look, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's the question. See, David knew. They said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who do I have to be afraid of if the Lord is my light? Nobody. Well, watch what else he says. Keep going.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. If I had everybody press 1 right now, big baby, and ask them, do you believe the Lord is your light and your salvation? They'll all say, yeah. Do you believe that the Lord is the king for your life? They'll all say, yeah. But I guarantee you, everybody who pressed 1 wouldn't be able to say, well, but I don't be on social media spreading that fear. They wouldn't all be able to say that, though, would they? So which is it? Are you afraid, or is the Lord your light and your salvation? Is he your strength of your life? Because if you believe all of that, you're going to be afraid of any man. Brothers, guys, do not lay up at night worried about what anybody out here is going to do to him. I see if you was in a beef with somebody and you knew somebody was about to get you and you just been on your toes and watching your back, I can understand that making anybody paranoid or even on edge. I can understand that, but y'all walking around afraid of people who don't even know you exist. And if they did plan on blowing up America, what can you do? Nothing at all. Why am I getting videos about stuff that people are planning that even I admit is scary? It is scary. It's very afraid. Even the people who made the video, they got like eerie music in it. You know, the music goes along with what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice touch. But if that is the case, okay, you just send me this. This is scary as on the way. Thank you. You just scared me. So then what? Oh, nothing. I just wanted you to see this so you can be scared. So you're trying to make me into a coward. No, I'm not trying to do that. Then why are you showing it to me? You just need to know. You need to be informed of that. Informed of what? What they're doing over there in other militaries? Why do I need to know that? I'm not a soldier, not a literal one. I'm not in the military. I'm not in special forces. I'm not a Navy SEAL. And if I was all of that, I would know all of that before you showed it to me in the video. So why are you on here talking about, oh, they're making this RFID chip, they're going to throw an implant into us? Yeah, okay, and if they do, what you going to do? Well, I'm not going to take it. Well, okay, if you already know you're not going to take it, what's the point? You already know about the mark of the beast. If it turns out to be an RFID chip, they're going to tell you, you have to worship Satan and deny your God to get it. And if you don't get it, we may execute you. You know what your options are. Well, other than that, big baby, why are you showing me all these other videos about these conspiracies and stuff going on?
Serious.
Trying to put some fear in me. Oh, Bill Gates, he said he wants to depopulate the world. He's the one that's behind this COVID. He wants to depopulate the world. I ain't worried about no Bill Gates. Do I look afraid of Bill Gates, big baby? He ain't knocking on my door. As far as I know, he ain't looking for me. What am I afraid about Bill Gates for? Yeah, but he behind these vaccines. One day they're gonna make the vaccines mandatory. Okay, and if they do, what are you gonna do? What can I do about that? If they're gonna make the vaccines mandatory today, what am I gonna do? Nothing. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is say, I'm not going to let y'all give it to me. Or I can be like, okay, I'll take it. You see how people make cowards out of us? They make us afraid and timid. That's anti-Bible. The ancient Hebrews, they were not like that. They were not taught to be that way. The early Christians, they were not taught to be cowards. The early Christians were the bravest people that ever walked the planet. Can you imagine, big baby, if you lived in a time where what you believe meant certain death? Like, if they found out you believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whatever name you want to use for him, if they found out you believe in him, that meant certain death. Not imprisonment. Not a concentration or intern camp. Certain death, and not a quick one either. We're going to toss you to the lion. We're going to throw you to an arena and let other wild beasts tear you up. Or we might even let one of our gladiators kill you. We might burn you at the stake. Burn you alive. Christians knew that if their faith was discovered, it meant certain death. They went right on believing in Jesus. And history will tell you, the more Christians they persecuted and massacred, the more the faith spread. That's the crazy thing about it. You would think if you pass the law saying anybody who believe that Bible or believe in that Jesus, they're going to be executed. You would think that would suppress it. No, history will tell you, the more they kill Christians, the more people converted over to Christianity. You know why? Because they weren't cowards. And they inspire people. People would see these Christians in Roman Colosseums, big baby, burning at the stake, praising Jesus, praising God, and not afraid. And it made it feel like, man, well, I don't know what they got, man, but it's making them super brave. I want some of that. See, faith inspires. Fear incapacitates. You know what I'm saying? Or you know I got to go on my Get to Jackson and make it rhyme. Faith inspires, but fear makes you perspire. You know what perspire be, right? Make you sweat.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not supposed to be cowards. Why are we walking around here afraid? Because that's what we do. If right now, there's a Blog Talk Radio show going on right now somewhere, and somebody, all they on there is doing is talking about conspiracies and what's coming, and we can't do anything about that. And then what killed me, big baby, is when they end the broadcast, man, y'all better get ready. How are we going to get ready? How? They control everything. How am I going to get ready, big baby? They say, y'all better get ready. You got these off of Jacob's Trouble. And first of all, Jacob's Trouble is not the Great Tribulation. I need a whole class title, What is Jacob's Trouble? It's not the Great Tribulation. Jacob's Trouble has already happened. Jacob's Trouble is when Jacob first went into captivity. That's Jacob's Trouble. I got a whole class on that. It's not talking about anything going on right now. But I'll tell you that, got you scared. I remember we was going to the Israel of God, big baby, and I'm not taking a shot at them or anything. I'm just telling y'all from my personal experience and what I felt. Every time Bowie did the Abomination Desolation class, it did chill down my spine. And believe me, he knew how to sell it. But guess what? That ain't even talking about nothing in the future anyway. Go back and read Matthew 24. The Abomination Desolation ain't talking about the Antichrist. It's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. All you got to do is just cross-reference it with Luke 21, which says, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the destruction thereof is nigh, which means near. Then it plainly tells you in Mark, it says, when you stand, see it stand in the holy place. It. A human being is not called an it. But every time we heard that, boy, big baby, I had to be, whoo. I ain't even talking about anything got anything to do with us anyway. But even if it were, guess what? We don't supposed to be walking around here scared. No cowards allowed. But let's move on. You already read verse 1. What was that, 27?
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
When the wicked Even my enemies and my foes came upon me to up my flesh. They stumbled and fell.
He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Go ahead.
Though an host should encamp against me.
Though a host, that means an army. This is David saying, though a host should encamp against me. Like the whole army of people come out after me. Watch what he says.
My heart shall not fear.
My heart shall not fear. What else?
Though war should arise against me, in this will I be comforted.
He said, though war should rise against me, in this will I be comforted. He said, even if an army came against me, I won't be afraid. Then my heart will not be afraid, big baby, of an army. David knew no cowards allowed. David was brave, big baby. David was a warrior. So you bring a whole army against me, I won't be afraid. But we're afraid about an army that may never come against us. People get on North Korea. People get about China. It's 2 billion Chinese people. I don't care. What they're planning in Afghanistan. I don't care. It's interesting, but I don't care where, to the point where I'm going to be afraid of it. Oh, it's a gas shortage. I don't care. Oh, I forgot to tell you, big baby, I put premium gas in my car yesterday. That means the premium back. Mm-hmm. All it took was a week and a few days to get everything back on track. But look how everybody started panicking. Cowards. And I guarantee you, big baby, you would interview any one of those people at the pump and ask them, are you a Christian or some kind of Bible believer? Oh, yeah, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Baptist. It would have been something. So why are you acting all afraid then? You want to see some cowards? Go on social media and see everybody panicking at those pumps. You want to see some cowards? Go back a year when COVID first hit and people were buying up toilet paper and hand sanitizer. Cowards. They weren't cowards, Doc. They were just trying to be prepared. Prepared for what? Mediocrity? Because look what's going on. Look, the future is here. We've seen what happened after the gas and after the COVID. Guess what? Plenty of food in the grocery stores, plenty of gas at the pump. So y'all did all of that for nothing. You panic shopped for nothing. Spending 3 and 4 times what you can afford because you think it's something to run out. Putting gas in all kinds of illegal containers. Give me a break. Cowards. We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed to call ourselves believers, knowing we walking around as timid and scared as we do. Should be ashamed of ourselves, right? We got to get back, maybe to what we were. But let's steal in the Book of Psalms and go to chapter 56. They be killing me too. Why the sisters these days braver than the brothers, big baby? Brothers be the first one to panic. I go on social media, a lot of sisters be, and I'm not just saying this, y'all can go see for yourself. It be the sisters on there telling us, don't be afraid, y'all got us, he got our back. The brothers be on there spreading the fear mostly. You'll get the sisters on there every now and then, they get the panicky, but it's mainly the dudes. You're supposed to be the man, bro. You're the head of the house, right? What do you think your wife, your children going to do if they see you folding? They're going to fold, too. So to the sisters who are listening, I say, don't you marry you, no punk. And I'm not talking about a punk, like, stereotypically, like, you know, oh, he's scrawny and he wears glasses and stuff. No, that ain't what we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody whose mental state is in a constant state of fear, always worrying. Every time you come home, you see them on the computer, find a new YouTube conspiracy video to try to go share with everybody to scare the living daylights out of them. You don't marry you. You don't mess around and marry to a punk. Didn't even know it. You don't marry to a coward. Didn't even know it. And then you try to reason with them. Well, baby, you know, that's why we're supposed to have, you know, trust in the Lord. The Lord got us, yes, baby, I know, but they're making bombs. They've been making bombs before you were born. Well, what did they bomb America? What if they bomb Chicago? What if they bomb Atlanta? Well, I stay in Atlanta. Yeah, what if they bomb it? What happens when you bomb stuff? You tell me, what you mean, what if? You know what happens when they bomb stuff. People blow up. We dead. What you want me to tell you? People be saying stuff like that to me like they don't know what happens if you nuke a place, Big Baby. Everything dies.
Like it's an alternative.
Like it's an alternative. What if they do it? What, you know what happens. Well, I know that, Josh. I know that means we're going to die. So what are you telling me? You're afraid that you're going to die? Give me a solution. There is no solution. Then why don't you chill? I mean, if I knew that there was a gigantic meteorite heading toward the planet that was going to wipe out this entire planet, Big Baby, and every country on this planet exhausted every possibility of stopping it and it couldn't be done, then I'm not going to spend my last hours worried about something that I can't stop. I'm just going to live my life regular. Okay, what? Then when it hit us, it just hit us. But you got people worried about this stuff, and people keep spreading this fear, and it's getting worse, and the main people doing it are believers. Think about it, y'all. If you are a believer and you're walking around here scared, an atheist who may have been considering converting over to being a believer, they're not going to do it. Because believe it or not, y'all, all the unbelievers look to us for courage. They expect us to be brave. Because they'll even mock you. Hey, well, you don't think your God's going to save you? You're not acting like it. Psalm 56. We're going to read verse 4, and then we're going to skip. Psalm 56, verse 4. Go ahead and read.
In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
This is what David said again, right? It says, in God will I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David was not a coward. See, if you trust in the Lord, you're not going to fear what flesh can do to you. He didn't even say might do to me. He said can, like it's definitely a possibility they can do it. He said, I do not fear what flesh can do to me. So if I see you watching videos and you're, hey, man, it's called this video. Oh, they're planning this over in France. Or the Illuminati is working on this. And you sending me that, and I'm like, okay, so what can we do about it? Do?
I ain't thinking that far.
I ain't thinking that far yet. Okay, we're thinking about it now. What can we do? Well, nothing, Brother Doc. Then why are you showing me this? You don't trust in the Lord. You afraid what man can do to you. You are a coward. And I can't be dealing with a coward because cowardice is like a disease. It spreads. I'm going to show you that. It spreads. And somebody needs to stand up on social media and they need to say stuff to people. I be saying stuff to people. I be like, okay, so why are you showing us this? We got a bunch of people who suffer from panic attacks and anxiety posting on social media. See, there's no filter on social media. There's no screening on social media. What that means is any nut job of any mental background can go on social media and post stuff. See, back in the day before there was a certain thing on the internet, we had a better handle on people who were mentally ill. You know, they just stick them in a nut house, or you could just see them out on the street. Okay, everybody, that's the house that crazy man lived in. You know, it was real easy. But social media gives you a mask. It gives you a secret identity. So most of us don't be thinking when people post on social media, when they're posting stuff about fear, it don't ever even occur to us that this person might be crazy. They might suffer from anxiety, right? We never think about that, do we, Big Baby? We just see people. And now we got people who are mentally ill from a mental illness that caused extreme anxiety. They're posting stuff, and now they're spreading the mental illness. And we don't see anything wrong with that. We start doing it, too. Now we're doing it. Now we've all become a congregation of cowards. Everybody walking around scared of their own shadow. Bible says we can't be like that. David said, I will not fear what flesh can do to me. skip down, big baby, and read verses 10 and 11. Go ahead.
In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me.
It's funny how he said this in the same chapter twice. Almost like he's trying to emphasize the point. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. I will not be afraid. Because all this stuff we're afraid of is man-made. Conspiracy theories, man-made. Weapons, man-made. RFID chips, man-made. Social security numbers, man-made. You name it, he made it. And then you're getting on social media, you're going out into the world, and you're scaring everybody because you are a coward and you want all of us to be cowards. You're spreading fear. You are a fear monger. A lot of us don't even know why we do the stuff we do, big baby. We do a scary video. I got to share this. This is deep right here. People sometimes they'll post up on Facebook and they, I'm not lying. So when you post them on Facebook, you can comment on what you think about it. They will post them on Facebook like, it's scary. They even tell you, so you can click on the video, this is scary. And then you click on it, and it's some old conspiracy theory that may or may not be true about something scary that they're planning. And we can't do anything about it. So why are you showing this to us? We can't prepare for this. We can't defend ourselves against this. You are a coward, and you want us to be cowards too. Get away from me. That's just another form of negativity, big baby. Like you said, get all that negativity away. That's all it is, another form of negativity. I don't want you around me. But let's move on. Still in the book of Psalms, let's go to 112. I never seen so many scared people before in my life. And they're all believers. No, the crazy thing too, big baby. Here's the crazy thing. You hardly, if ever, catch any atheist spreading conspiracy theories and fear. Atheists are so smug and comfortable, they're just like, you know, whatever. They don't even care. But the believers, they the biggest cowards. We don't want to believe in a higher power to protect us, but we walk around here to scare it. It makes no sense. Right? Because the cowards have become the captives. That's the problem, big baby. The cowards have become the captives. Right? This is Psalm 112. We're going to read verse 1, then we're going to skip. Psalm 112 and 1. Then to get some content, go ahead and read.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments.
It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Right? Now skip down and read verses 7 and 8, and I'm going to show you how I read in the other translations. But I want you to read this. Go ahead and read.
He should not be afraid of evil tidings.
Now hold up. It says, the man that fears the Lord and delighted greatly in his commandments shall not be afraid of evil tidings. We're going to see what that means. Right? Go ahead and read.
His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord.
It says his heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Notice I always talk about your heart a lot with this too. Trusting in the Lord, right? He's not afraid of evil tidings. Go ahead and read.
His heart is established. He should not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy.
His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy or see the end of his enemy. Right? But it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. What we're going to do is go through today's parallel Bible, big baby, and we're going to read this same Psalm 112 in the New International Version, the New Living Translation, and the New American Standard Bible. Now listen to this, big baby. New International Version, Psalm 112, verse 7. It says, he will have no fear of bad news. That's what evil tidings mean, because tidings mean news. And evil means bad. It says he will have no fear of bad news. What do we call the media? The news. And they have a lot of bad news on it. We see stuff in the media, we get scared, don't we? The news is the number one thing that makes us scared. The media, right? That's why they call it social what? Media. That's news. But it says a man who fears the Lord and finds delight in his commandments, it says he will not be afraid of bad news. Notice it's not even talking about man doing something to him. It's just about the bad news that he hears about. A lot of us walk around just scared of bad news. We're scared of the media. And social media could be easily called social news because the media and the news is the same thing. You got to read the New Living Translation, the baby's favorite author's translation, Psalms 112 and 7. It says, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Why is every time something bad on the news happens, in the news, start spreading the news. That's what they do, right? Look, I read the New American Standard Bible, Psalms 112, verse 7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. So it reads similar to the King James. But do y'all see? We're not even supposed to be afraid of the news. They're not afraid of bad news. I know a guy who I work with. Every morning, he comes in afraid because he be following the news. And, like, you know, he's a avid Trump supporter. And he's just afraid that Biden is just going to just run this country straight into the ground. He believes that by next year, we're going to all be in concentration camps. I am not playing, y'all. He's a real cool guy, loving the belt, but he is a fearmonger to the fullest. And guess what, big baby? He's also a advocate Christian. He talks about God and stuff a lot, too. Those are two things, religion and politics. And I'm saying, dude, for you to be so religious, you sure got a lot of fear in your heart. And all he does is go on the news. He actually watches the news a lot. Have you heard about this, Cedric? This dude right here, man. He has some interesting stuff to talk about, but boy, he be scared all the time. We're not even supposed to be afraid of the bad news, baby. This is in here for a reason. Y'all think it's something new. Y'all think the media and the news is something new. They had the media back then. They had, like, cameras and stuff, of course, but they had people reporting stuff. That's what they're called, reporters. Now, listen to the words these people use. Reporter. What does a reporter do? They look at stuff and they go back and tell you about it. That's what a reporter does. They had reporters back then. The word report is even in the King James Version Bible. And we walking around here afraid of the evil tidings, big baby, of the bad news. If you trust in the Lord, you're supposed to be scared of the news. And if you're one of those people that can't turn on the news without getting scared, then what do you think you need to do? Don't watch the news.
Not CNN.
CNN definitely will scare you. No. No cowards allowed. And I'm going to show y'all that right now. Let's go to Deuteronomy 20. I went to this with my bold soldier, the Christ class. Like, they were like one of the first people I went to. But I'm going to show you how God felt about cowards in his army. But see, cowardice, big baby, is like a disease. It spreads. I'm afraid. Now big baby afraid. Now Elder David afraid. And before you know it, ABT has become a congregation of cowards. Everybody's scared. No, I'm not trying to teach y'all to be that way. If y'all ever, any one of you, ever end up being a coward, you're not going to be able to say it started from the top. They're not going to say this is what Josh instilled in us. Nope, that's you. I ain't ever taught any one of y'all to fear anything but the Lord. Y'all know that. So if you're scared, it's something you did. I don't worry about any of that mess. When Big Baby will tell you, I started this job I worked on last February. That's around the time when COVID first hit hard. I told Big Baby, the majority of the people on my job quit. I say, they looked at me. You know what I'm saying? The same way when it tells you in the Bible that when Jesus had a bunch of people following him, and he said something, and they said many of them walked away and didn't follow him anymore, and he turned to the 12, and he asked them, will you also walk away? And they said, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's kind of how they went on my job. Everybody else quit. And then the four of the academy said, are you going to quit too? I said, where am I going? I got to pay my bills.
Paycheck.
I need a paycheck. But I say, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, people young and old were quitting, scared of COVID. And guess what? At that time, back then, they were getting people unemployment that was more than what you would make for some people if you weren't going to work. I'm like, I'm not scared of this. I kept right on going to work, big baby. You know what I did? Then I big baby. I kept right on going. We went from a staff of like 10 people to down like 3. And I was 1 to 3. And then gradually when it started to pan out, people started coming back. They'll say, I wasn't scared of that. People were scared of death of COVID. I kept right on working. Like, what? I'm not going to be afraid of that. Then when people start saying, well, you know, we believe it was made in the lab. So that means if it was made in the lab, that makes it man-made, right? I will not fear what man shall do to me. It's something God allowed man to do. And if God allowed man to do it, that means that it was just another play from the Lord. I don't just be on just talking this stuff. I walk it, too. No, not Big Baby. Big Baby tell you, I did not quit. I was like, wait, I'm going to keep going. My motto is I'm going to keep coming to work until they tell me I can't come back. That's my motto, right? Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4, go ahead and read.
When I go out to battle against thine enemies and seize horses, chariots, and a people more than thou.
Now, this is the laws about military service. That when you go out to battle against your enemies and seize horses and chariots and what else, and a people more than you, that means they outnumber you, right? He ain't even talking about an even playing field, is he, Big Baby? Go ahead.
Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
See, the ancient Israelite military, they knew you were not supposed to be afraid. It was against the law for you to be in the military if you were afraid. I'm going to show you that. It was against the law. See, nowadays in the American military, you can tell them all you want to after you sign up that you're scared. They ain't going to let you out. They're going, well, you signed up. In ancient Israel's military, if you were really scared, they let you out. And it wasn't exactly something somebody was going to lie about. You ain't going to get out the army and say you want out because you're scared and be lying about that because you want to get out for another reason. No. Chances are, you say you want out because you're scared. You really are scared. But continue.
It shall be, when ye are come nigh to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people.
See, what many people don't know is that when Israel went to battle, they had priests on the battlefield. Now, it said the priest. Now, listen to this, baby. It didn't say the captain, the lieutenant. It said the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and say what?
And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them.
Now notice the priest did this, because the priests were the spiritual advisors, the spiritual counselors for the rest of the nation of Israel. They were not even the soldiers, Big Baby. But notice that the priest shall do this. Because the priests were the ones who represented God's mouthpiece. So to the children of Israel, this is what God is telling them. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be faint. Right? And do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them, because of who you're going up against. Go ahead and read.
For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Right? But even if you knew all of that and still decided that, skip down and read verse 8.
And the officer shall speak further unto the people.
And then the officer, now you get into your loose and stuff, right? It said, and officers shall speak further unto the people and say what?
They shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart.
It says, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? In other words, who in this army is scared? Who's afraid? Then it says, let him go and return unto his house, let his brethren's heart faint, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. In other words, he's going to make them cowards at heart too. So let's get you out of here before you spread the fear. In other words, as Elder J.C., Elder Joaquin, a.k.a. Elder KC, saying in the chat room, if you scared, go home. That's officially what this law was saying. If you scared, go home. We don't need you. No cowards allowed. You weren't even allowed to be in the military if you was a coward. And it makes sense because you would make everybody else scared. So this is telling you right here, big baby, that fear is something that can be spread. And that's what they're saying? Mm-hmm. And now we, thanks to the internet, which makes it possible for one person to spread their message to millions of people within minutes. Now we got a bunch of cowards running around here, all claiming to be believers, all claiming to believe in the Bible in some shape, form, or fashion, walking around here scared. How do you know they're scared? Because they're the people on here spreading the fear. You're not trying to inform me. You're not trying to prepare me. What's the point of preparing me for something that I can't beat or have no control over? That's all you guys are doing. You guys are cowards. People on social media spreading this fear, they are cowards. They are afraid. They want you to be afraid, too. Fear loves company. People say misery loves company. Fear loves company, too, big baby. You scared, big baby? Yeah, I'm scared. You know what? Be scared with me, Josh. Okay, let's go be scared together. Let's go hide in the clouds together, Josh. No, we're not supposed to be like that. No cowards allowed. You gonna make me sleep good at night. Baby, I sleep good at night, unless, you know, I'm sick or something. I sleep good at night. I don't be laid up at night worrying about no China. And some people can't sleep, so they get up at night. They watch the CNN late at night. They just feeding the fear more and more. Scared out of their wits. Leave me alone. You're a coward. And you married? What's your wife think about that? Did she know she was marrying a punk? That's all I want to know. Did she know that? And when I say punk, I don't even mean somebody who's weak physically. I don't even mean nobody who can't beat me. Because there's a lot of punks that can beat me. But I'm talking about mentally. Mentally. I'm not talking about no homosexual type of punk either. I'm talking about somebody who is weak-hearted. That's who I'm talking about. You are a coward. And God don't want to use you because that means you don't believe. If you are a coward, that means you don't believe. If you're walking around in constant fear of what man can do to you, you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you go to hell. Ain't that simple, baby? And then we're going to read. All throughout this Bible, no cowards, no cowards, no cowards. All throughout this Bible. You ain't ever read anywhere in this Bible where it's okay or recommended to be afraid other than the fear of the Lord. Let's move on, big baby. Let's go to the apostle. We're going to C-Rock. If you're scared, go home. In fact, I'm going to modify that. If you're scared, stay home. Don't even come out so that you have to turn around and go home. If you're scared, stay home. How about that, big baby? Stay in the house. Don't even come out. We're going to Ecclesiastes, also known as C-Rock, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. C-Rock, and then we're reading out the Septuagint, so you can follow along there, read Apocrypha if you have that one. And if it's in the same spot. But I think it is. C-Rock chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Look what it says right here. woe unto him that is faint-hearted. It said, woe unto him that is faint-hearted. Y'all know woe means like disaster, destruction, bad news to him that is faint-hearted. What does it mean to be faint-hearted? It means to be a coward, to be afraid, to be scared. Wait a minute, God, you trying to tell me that the Bible says something bad is going to happen to me just for being a coward? Yes, it's going to tell you why. It says, for he believeth not. For he does not believe. If you walk around here scared, you don't believe. You are an atheist. You're an atheist. You're no different than an atheist if you're walking around here always scared. No, Josh, I believe in God. I'm just trying to inform the people. No, you're trying to spread fear. You're afraid, and you want us to be afraid, too. You don't believe. If you did, you would show those same videos and say, yet we have nothing to be afraid of because God will protect us from all that. You don't add that with that. You just drop the fear and leave. You do not believe. Woe to him that is faint-hearted, for he believeth not. Therefore shall he not be defended. God is not going to defend you. That's the irony. The irony is the fear is going to make what you fear happen. Your fear is going to bring your destruction. That's the irony, big baby. Said he shall not be defended. And then it says all that's good. It says he shall not be defended. You don't believe. If you're always spreading this fear, you don't believe. If you're always afraid, you don't believe. Don't come to me talking about I believe in God, big baby, and every time I turn around, yeah, man, but they're planning this here and they're planning this there. You're not even just telling me that because, you know, it's just interesting. You like, I can see the fear.
To the faint heart
because you don't believe. And if you don't believe in God, where do you go? You go to hell. That's why we say no cowards allowed. We don't want you up in here because you're trying to spread fear. You're trying to turn up to a bunch of unbelievers. Now you get mad because people don't want to look at these videos anymore you're sending them. I'm just trying to see some videos, brother. Why are we having a falling out? No, that's not why. Y'all having a falling out because you just want to send him some videos. No, you're having a falling out because the brother told you you're afraid and you keep sending me stuff that we can't do anything about. You trying to take away my salvation, bro. You trying to get me cut off. If you think somebody is trying to get in the way of your salvation or get you cut off, you need to cut them off. We are too polite and casual with people who mean to destroy us. We're supposed to get rid of them with extreme prejudice. No, don't come anywhere near me. Don't call me. Don't come by my house. Don't text me. Don't email me. Don't send me none on Instagram. None of that. You trying to kill me. You trying to destroy my life. You don't be polite to people like that. You can be as rude as you need to be. They're trying to destroy you. They're trying to get you sent to hell. You're going to be a lot of polite people in hell, big baby. A lot of timid people, too scared to stand up and look their aggressors in the eye and say, leave me alone. You're trying to get me cut out with this fear. You don't wish you spoke enough then when you burn in like a fire, aren't you, baby? Man, I wish I would have said something then. Too late. Let's move on. Still in Ecclesiasticus or Sirach, we're on to chapter 41. If you're scared, go home. If you're scared, stay home. Sirach 41. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. Just so y'all can see what it says about death. Sirach 41. Verses 1 to 3. Look what it says right here. It says, O death, how bitter is the remembrance of thee to a man that liveth at rest in his possessions, unto the man that hath nothing to vex him, and that hath prosperity in all things. So this is saying that death is bitter to a man that liveth at rest in his possession, meaning he's living comfortably because he got a lot of possessions, right? It's also bitter to a man to have nothing to vex him, like he's vexed by nothing, no illnesses, nobody else is vexing him, right? That means like irritating him, right? It says, it's also bitter to a man that is yet, to a man that has prosperity in all things. Why? Because if he got prosperity in all things, it's going to be bitter to him because he's going to lose all that stuff, right? Somebody who's living comfortably, they don't want to die because they're living a good life, right? Then it says, unto him that is yet able to receive meat. That means somebody who can still eat with no complications, no problems, who can still eat food, right? Death is bitter to somebody like that. If you got a good life, you rich, you prosperous, then you don't want to die, right? Who would? Because they're happy. Look what it says right here. It says, oh, death, acceptable is thy sentence unto the needy and unto him whose strength faileth. See, the needy, like somebody who's real poor, they like, shoot, my life is miserable anyway. I look forward to dying, right? It says to the needy and unto him whose strength faileth that is now in the last age and is vexed with all things. You know, like the last age means somebody who's old. So old, they don't even want to live anymore. Because believe it or not, y'all, some people who are old are tired of living. That's possible, right? He said it is now in the last age and is vexed with all things, meaning all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of problems, right? They ain't scared of death. You know, that sentence is acceptable, right? Death is the way out, right? Then it says, and to him that despaireth and has lost patience. And this patience about like patiently waiting on the Lord. But it also says to him that despair, I mean, they're in despair, right? They're suffering. People who are suffering, who are living a good life, who poor, they're always sick. Guess what, big baby? They look forward to death. They can accept that, right? But look what it says right here. Verse 3. Here's the key. Fear not the sentence of death. Wait a minute. It just says don't fear the sentence of death. I know that's hard for a lot of people to hear. It's hard for me to hear. It says don't fear the sentence of death. Look what else it says. Remember them that have been before thee and that come after, for this is the sentence of the Lord over all flesh. So what this is saying is, why fear something that's going to happen to everybody? It said, don't fear death. Remember those who came before them, before you, and those that come after you. That's the sin of the Lord for everybody. We're all going to die. Don't let the amount of money you have or how good your life is make you fear death, or how poor you do make you accept death. Death is death. Don't fear it. If you fear death, guess what, big baby? You are a coward. Well, how can you say that, Josh? The early Christians. Guess what? Death was a certainty if their faith was discovered, and they still were believers. They didn't fear death. They didn't. Even when they were standing right there on trial, do you believe in this new God called Christ? Yes, I do. He's my Lord and Savior. You do understand that if you confess him and don't deny him, you will be thrown in the Colosseum to the lions and other wild beasts, or we will burn you alive at the stake. You do understand that, don't you? Yes, I do. We're not playing. I know. And they do it, and they be right there burning at the stake, singing praises to Jesus. These people were not cowards. They did not fear death. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he's once a coward. He's like one of those main people talking, though other men shall forsake thee, Lord, I shall never forsake thee. Flip the screen. I don't know the man. Three times denied him. You know, people talk big. Then think stuff pop out. They be the first one to fold. You know what I'm saying? It reminds me of that scene on Barbershop 2. Big Baby always laughing at this, right? When he was like, when he saw the AP people, when Calvin saw the AP wanted to break into nappy cuts, he said, "We're not breaking into nappy cuts. I will not allow it." He showed the best thing, he's the first one in the door. First one in. He's the main one saying, "We're not doing it." First one to fold, in other words. It would have been different if everybody would have walked in, he would have just came in behind like reluctantly he agreed to go. He's the first one in there. That's how it be when people, you know, I like to give like movie analogies to help y'all better understand my point, right? But that's how people be. That's how Peter was. And he denied him 3 times. So don't be trying to brag about your bravery when you know you ain't there yet. But we're not supposed to fear death. Believers are not supposed to fear death. And it wasn't just the Christians. Go and read 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Maccabees and read about the persecution that Antiochus put upon that woman and her 7 sons because they refused to denounce the Hebrew faith and eat pork. They didn't die quick death. He tortured them to death one after the other right in front of their own mom. They did not fear death. They said they don't fear death. See, Hebrews back in the day and early Christians, they were hardcore for their faith. They didn't walk around afraid of anybody. They did not fear man. They were willing to die for their faith because they did not fear death. If you fear death as far as like for your faith, you're still in that coward zone. Don't feel bad, though. I mean, it doesn't, like I said, it don't change overnight. But there may come a time where you confessing Jesus may mean a bullet in your head. And that's happening in some places in the world right now. Imagine if somebody broke in your house right now and they got an AK assault rifle aimed at your whole family and they say, sir, they talk to the man of the house, the husband, either you denounce Jesus right now or we're going to commence executing your whole family right in front of you and then we're going to save you for last and put a bullet in your head. And every time you say you're not going to do it, we're going to drop a family member. We ain't even going to kill them all at once. Do you denounce Jesus? No. Pow. There go your youngest daughter. We're going to ask you again. Do you denounce Jesus? No. Pow. There go your son. Then your wife. Then you. Can you say, you can say no? Can you say, hey, you might as well just shoot us all right now because I'm not doing it? Because if you can't do that, if you can't hold on and be like, execute all of us, then you're still in that coward zone. I hate to say it. It's the truth. I got to tell them the truth, don't I, big baby? I can't sugarcoat this. We have to be willing to die for our faith. Let's just hope that it never comes to that. I don't pray for that, though. I don't pray that it comes to that. But I know that if it does, I got to be willing to go. But let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We can't have cowards, y'all. Cannot be cowards. I'm sorry. And I know all of us know somebody like that who's always worried about what's going on, always worried about something, always seeing you with the what if. What if they do this or they're planning that? Don't they, big baby? Can't be like that. This is what Jesus said. Jesus was not an advocate of fear. Matthew 10, 1 verse, verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Read that, please.
Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Is that Jesus said, do not fear them which can kill your body, but can't kill your soul. They can touch your body, but they can't touch your soul. Right? He said, but rather fear him, that's God, that's the Father, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who we're supposed to be afraid of. Not the person that can kill our body and do nothing else after that. But fear the person that after he has killed has power to cast into heaven. I say to you, fear ye him. That's how I read in Luke. See, Jesus knew about that fear of man. We don't supposed to be fearing what man can do to us. We're supposed to be fearing God. We fear God up in here. And when we say fear man, we don't mean just fear what man may physically do to you. We don't supposed to fear what man think about us. We don't supposed to fear what man say about us. We don't supposed to fear them at all. Well, I don't want to say this, or I don't want to let people know I believe this way, because then they're going to go on social media and they're going to talk about me. Or they're not going to want to hang around me no more. So you're afraid of what they may think about you. No. We're supposed to fear anything. I don't care what anybody think about me. I don't care what anybody say about me. And one day I'm going to get to the point where I fully don't care what they do to me. I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm on my way there. Two, I don't care what you do. Because I fear God. I'm not. We're not supposed to be cowards. None of us are. Men, women, our children. You listen with your family, you let your family know right now, hey, there might be a time when y'all see daddy drug out in the street and shot right in front of y'all for his faith. Don't let that discourage you. Be ready to take that bullet, too, for the faith. That's how we're supposed to be. These guys were hardcore, weren't they, big baby? They didn't play. Let's move on. We're going to 2 Timothy, and we only got one more after that. Ever since this COVID stuff came out, boy, the punk came out of a lot of people, didn't it? Man, did the punk come out of a lot of people. You sit there as a woman, man, I thought I married a man. I don't marry a little scared little boy. You know it's bad when you marry to a man, and when this COVID thing first hit, he's scared to go out the house, and you get up and you going out the house, go to work every day, he's sitting up in the house scared, and you the man. But this stuff is serious. Not like that. We don't supposed to be like that. We don't supposed to be cowards. Christians are supposed to be the bravest people on the planet. Do y'all understand that? Bible believers, messianics, whatever you want to call them. Because not only Hebrews, they're supposed to be brave too. Because all of this came from the Old Testament. It started there. Y'all are supposed to be brave too. But who's spreading the most fear? Hebrew Israelite. Y'all think I'm lying going on social media? People in the conscious community, Christian. Don't think too many Muslims doing it. Spreading fear. I'm scared, you scared, let's be scared. Right? This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul talking to Timothy. We're going to read verses 6 to 8. Go ahead and read.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear.
Is that for God hath not given us the spirit of fear? God didn't give his servants the spirit of fear. Spirit meaning like the mindset or the attitude or the disposition of fear. So if you're walking around in fear, that's not from God. Right? What did he give us?
But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind means a sane mind, a rational mind. Fear makes you irrational. It makes you crazy. It makes you dangerous to yourself and others. God gave us the spirit of power. We're supposed to be operating in power. And when you have power, that makes you powerful. That's what powerful means. It means full of power. Look at the word, powerful. That means full of power. Right? But of power and of love. We're also supposed to be operating in love. And where there is love, there is no fear. Right? And then it says, a sound mind. That means you're in a sound state of mind. That means you're also sober. A lot of people, when they're afraid, what do, big baby? They drink. They smoke. You can't have a sound mind if you're high or if you're drunk. And that's what a lot of people do when they get scared. To calm down. Oh, I'm so scared. I gotta take these drugs. I gotta get this alcohol. I need it to calm down. What you afraid of? I'm not saying there's not going to be times in your life where something suddenly happens to you or somebody in your family, and it just comes out of nowhere and you're not prepared for it. Anybody can have a panic attack. That don't mean you're a coward. Sometimes things are just too much, right? I mean, if you got a phone call right now saying that your entire family died in a car accident, I don't expect you to be like, really? Wow, that's messed up. No, that can make anybody have a panic attack. That's a normal reaction, though. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about you having a panic attack just because you woke up. You should be sleeping, baby. As soon as you wake up, you wake up scared. Then you have a nightmare. You just wake up scared. You know what I'm saying? That's how some people are. I can understand if you had a nightmare and you feel the effects of the nightmare when you wake up. You had a good dream. You wake up, you know what I'm saying? Just wake up scared all the time. No. Right? Read verse 8, please.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of the God.
Like I said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, because we said ashamed. It meant like in a fearful way, because it's all of you being ashamed of the gospel. That means being too scared to let it be known that you believe in the gospel based off of what may happen to you. That would mean said, don't be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be afraid of that testimony, nor of his prisoner, of me his prisoner, talking about Paul. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And the afflictions of the gospel mean the persecution that comes with believing in the gospel. And it could be verbal or physical or both. Right? Let's go to the last one. Revelation 21. We don't supposed to have a spirit of fear. We don't supposed to have the spirit of fear. But a lot of some people see, they just wake up scared, big baby. You know what I'm saying? Wake up scared, go to sleep scared. No, we're not supposed to be that. Revelation 21, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. And then I'm going to show y'all where cowards go. 21, 7, and 8, read, please.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the Father talking, right? Go ahead and read.
But the fearful.
Look who's at the top of the list. The fearful. We don't see what that is. Go ahead.
And unbelieving.
Notice right after the fearful comes what? Unbelieving. Because those two go hand in hand. But the fearful and the unbelieving and what else?
And the abominable.
Anybody that does things that God hates. Right? Go ahead.
And murderers.
Uh-huh.
Whoremongers.
By the way, whoremongers, the first definition of it actually referred to male prostitutes. It could be female too, but whoremongers specifically, first and foremost, means male prostitutes. We had a whole class on that. Right? Male sluts, male whores, whatever you want to call them. Yes, there's no such thing as a player in the Bible. You're just a male whore. You're no better than a woman that does it. But continue.
Sorcerers.
And sorcerers. Go ahead.
And idolaters.
Idolaters, those that deal with idolatry. Y'all know sorcerers mean people that deal with sorcery in any shape, form, or fashion. And idolaters. And who else?
All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Is that all of these type of sinners is going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's the lake of fire. That's hell. But it's at the fearful. That's at the top of the list. And it's in the same category as liars and murderers and whoremongers. It's in the same category. So it got to be something pretty bad, right? What we're going to do is go to today's parallel Bible. And we're going to read this in the other translation. Revelation 21. We're not going to read all of verse 8. We're going to read what it says for Phil, right? Revelation 21 and verse, it says, but the cowardly, and I read the end of it, shall have their place. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, that is the second death. Notice for the word fearful, it said cowardly. Cowards go to hell, big baby. That's what this is your Bible saying. God don't want any cowards. He don't want anybody walking around here scared of man. He wants you to fear him, right? They're reading the New Living Translation, big baby favorite alternate translation, Revelation 21, verse 8. But cowards who turn away from me, right? Cowards, again, notice they keep translating that cowards. Because they know that's what that means, right? Then as you go down to the end, it says, their doom is the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. Cowards. New American Standard Bible, Revelation 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly, there it is again, the cowardly, right? And it says what's going to happen to them. Their part will be the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what the word fearful means in Revelation. It means the cowards, the cowardly. That's why we say no cowards allowed, because that's where our coward goes. They go to hell. So, sisters and brothers, we have shown you no cowards allowed, because no cowards will be allowed in the kingdom. That is the big twist of this class. When I say no cowards allowed, I know I've been saying no cowards allowed up in ABT, the whole class, but the real meaning is no cowards allowed in the kingdom. So if you know somebody who is always scared, having panic attacks, having anxiety, first you need to see if it's something that's a mental disorder and tell that person they need to seek professional help and counseling. But if it's not that, you're just a person who thrives on being afraid and making others afraid. Or if you're like that, then you need to check yourself, because that means you're not a believer. And if you're not a believer, then you are in the category as an unbeliever. And it just told you in Revelation 21 and verse 8, the unbelieving will be among those that go to the lake of fire. So if you feel that you are a coward, then you need to read up on this information, and you need to pray. Or if you know somebody who you think is a coward, you need to share this information with them. And if you do that, maybe, just maybe, you or the person who you know is a coward will see that no cowards are allowed in the kingdom, and that will give you the courage, or what we call encourage. You wouldn't even look at this word today. Encourage literally means to put courage in. We say it's how to encourage somebody. That's what it, see, sometimes we be looking at these words, and we don't even realize that they're telling us stuff. Maybe you will be able to encourage them to stop being cowards before they end up in a lake of fire with all the rest of the cowards. See you next time. And this time we'll have some brief announcements, and then we will go to the switchboard to let Calamine, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity, and another accolade, the Prince of Prosperity, because he's all about prosperity, not like Creflo Dollar. We're talking about like physical prosperity and just prosperity in life and in family. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm always giving them different accolades. But the Prince of Positivity and of Prosperity, he will come on and he will give a brief summary of today's class. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. We usually go on air at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and class starts around 4:30 p.m. So, you know, I play some nice music for y'all for like 30 minutes or so, and then class starts at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody's interested in ordering a past class, You can do so by going to our online store. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. If anybody's interested in making a donation to this ministry, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and would just like to help out financially, you can do so one of two ways. The first way is through PayPal, using our email address, meaning you can also contact us at this address, which is absolutebibletruth, the numerical number 4, eva@yahoo.com. Again, that's absolutebibletruth, 4eva@yahoo.com. Or Absolute Bible Truth, the numerical number 4, eva@yahoo.com. The second way you can donate to this ministry is through Cash App, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM s. Again, that's $ABTM s. And let me take this opportunity to thank everybody for the generous donations they have been sending. It is greatly appreciated. I know when people send stuff on PayPal, I don't respond on PayPal. You know, I think it's like you got to, like, write a whole note back or whatever. And most of the time when I get these notifications, like, I'm at work. And I don't know how to really do it on my cell phone too good. But just know, if you donate through PayPal, I am getting it, and I greatly appreciate it. You guys look out. You guys support. For y'all that don't support financially but support in other ways, I equally appreciate you too. Sharing the video, encouraging other people who you know to tune in, all of that is greatly appreciated. But right now, I see the print on the switchboard. Go ahead, bro.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
You are loud and clear, sir.
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, we just want to give a special shout out to our big brother, our Lord and Savior, the King of Earth, and Jesus Christ. We want to give it that special shout out to our big brother. We want to also give a special shout out to the Most High, God of our forefathers, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And today we learned about not being a coward. We learned that there was no cowards allowed in God's army, in the army of Israel. You were supposed to stay home if you were fearful. We learned that we are not supposed to fear anybody who can kill the body or cause us any pain in our flesh in Matthew 28. We also learned that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but what is very prevalent among believers today is the spirit of fear. They fear death. They fear poverty. They fear sickness. They fear, you know, heartbreak. They fear pain. It's just a whole bunch of fear inside of the Christian community, and that is contrary to what Christians are. Christians are supposed to be courageous. Christians are supposed to be brave. Christians are supposed to be the leaders in faith, because we are supposed to be faithful, not fearful, but most people put more fear into their lives than faith. So we learned that the fearful also will end up in the lake of fire, Revelation 21. So just a recap class, fear is not allowed in our house, fear is not allowed in our mouths, and fear is not allowed in our faith. So that's the number one overall lesson in this class. No cowards allowed. It's your boy Ariel. Thank you guys for allowing me to share my brief summary. You guys have a great rest of the Shabbat. Peace.
Praise God, Prince. Praise God. Always love the summaries that you give, straight to the point, yet full of information, right? And I like to take this time to also give a shout out to the Nickersons for the donations that they give and the work that they put in this chat room, posting all the scriptures and references, and even some references that I don't have. They'll add some additional reading material for you. So if you ever get a chance, tune into that chat room, you know, and pay attention to some of the stuff that they post, as well as offering some information of your own. If you see me post a source about a definition or a historical reference, if you know another source, post it in there, because that way the edification will spread all around. Y'all know that. You know what I mean? So I don't see anybody else on the switchboard, so if anybody got a question or a comment, you go ahead and press 1. And here we go. I've been waiting for these people to press one after a class like this because I know this is some soldiers right here. It is Hazardous and the 300. Shabbat shalom, Hazardous crew.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. This is Miss Hazardous, and I was calling to ask a question.
Okay.
About well, honestly, it doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, so I'm not sure if you're gonna answer this question right now or later. I'll call back.
I accept and entertain all questions, no matter if they related to the class or not.
Okay. So I was calling because I'm not sure if it was in Judges or anything, but it did say, and I'm pretty sure, but like if you correct me if I'm wrong, that was saying that when there was a battle, and I think it was Joshua and some other people, and when he was like their enemies, and he was saying that the Most High was telling him that like, the enemy's chariots and stuff.
When the
fence was still. And then he said that he couldn't stop their chariots from coming. Do you remember what that, or does that sound familiar to you?
That he couldn't stop, who couldn't stop their chariots from coming?
So the Most High couldn't stop the chariots from coming to towards, I think, Joshua when he was in the battle.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. It wasn't in Joshua. You said it was in Judges? Because Joshua was not around.
I'm not sure because I thought it was either from Joshua or Judges about the chariots that the Most High said he couldn't stop the chariots.
I know what you're talking about. It's in Judges when it said that Judah went out to fight and the Lord was with him and he could not prevail against them because they had chariots of iron. Are you talking about that?
Yeah. Yes. So
okay, what is the question about that?
Oh, like okay. So again, since you know the Most High can do like any, do you know why he couldn't stop those?
Well, here's the thing. When God sent Israel to battle, the Bible makes it very clear that God is the deciding factor in whatever side wins. If you go back to the book of Joshua, it'll tell you that he sent them to war and somebody had stole the accursed object. And he let the enemies of Israel defeat them. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Okay.
Right. So when it says that the chariots of iron, that the Lord was with him, it said, but he could not prevail. The he that is talking about, the subject verb agreement, the he that is talking about is Judah. Now, you may ask, well, it says the Lord was with him. Yes, the Lord was with him to an extent. See, that does not mean that God would allow them to win all of their battles. If they could not win against a military, it's because God gave that other military the power to overcome Israel. So even if it says that he could not prevail against them because they had chariots of iron, then that's the advantage that the Lord gave the other people, which made Israel not be able to defeat them. And all throughout the Bible, you can read where God could stir up other non-Israelite militaries and send them upon Israel to defeat them. It tells you that God stirred up Nebuchadnezzar and sent them among Israel to conquer Zedekiah because Zedekiah in Israel was wicked. So whenever I see one nation defeat Israel, then you got to understand that technically it's the Most High that gave that other nation power over Israel. So if Judah could not prevail against that nation because they had chariots of iron, the real question you should be asking yourself is, who gave that nation the chariots of iron?
That would
be the Most High.
Right. I agree.
So what?
I totally understand what you agree with, you know, or – for example, like I know when he said he hardened people's hearts in Joshua, he hardened their hearts to go against him. Like he can take other people to go against him by hardening their hearts, just like he did with Pharaoh. So I know what you Like he can, and I was just thinking about that in so many different ways. Like he, and that's why, and it does honestly go with the lesson too, because just like he's a part of everything and all things. Even if, like you said, the other side is your enemy, he still can be like yes or no, whether they, like you said, conquer or not, because he controls both, controls you and controls the other side. So I understand what you're saying. You said what?
He's controlling both sides, and I've seen people try to go there before, and they try to say stuff like, oh, you know what I'm saying? See, your God couldn't go up against them because they had chariots of iron. But let me show you something. This is the same God. This is the First Kings. I want you to turn here for me, sister. Turn to First Kings 11. I did a whole class on this, by the way. It was titled God, Controller of Kings, and I did another one called The Puppet Master. This is First Kings 11. Both are on my online store, by the way. First Kings 11,
oh,
if you're interested.
Okay.
Read verse 14. This is after Solomon's sin. Watch what it says here.
Okay, First Kings chapter 11, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord sent up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king, he and Edom.
So he stirred up an adversary for Solomon, right? So he made these people go to war with Solomon. And obviously, if God stirred him up to punish Solomon, he was going to win over Solomon, right?
Right.
So God is in control of all of this. So when he could not prevail against these other people because they had chariots of iron, that's because that's what God wanted to happen. That's the limit that God gave Judah when Judah went to war. It says he went out and the Lord was with him, but could not prevail against him because they had chariots of iron. It wasn't saying that God was incapable of winning over against another military because they had chariots of iron, but this is the same God that made the earth open up and swallow people. This is the same God that allowed Moses to split the Red Sea, save the Israelites, and drown the Egyptians. This is the same God that got control over the elements, right? So
right.
If he really wanted to destroy these people, he could have just, remember, this is the same God that sent a plague among the children of Israel and did 75, killed seven, not the children of Israel, but Sennacherib's army and killed like 75,000 soldiers or something like that it said, right? He could have easily did that. So there was just the extent to which he was with Judah, and that's the power that he gave him. That's the most he gave him. But if he really wanted to let Judah win by another means, then he could have went supernatural. So what this is saying is the power that he gave Judah in like a natural aspect was not enough to prevail against them because they had chariots of iron. If you notice, God didn't do anything supernatural in that particular battle. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there are limitations to what you can do in a battle if God is not getting supernaturally involved. God was with them, but not in a supernatural way. You follow what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, because I don't believe.
You can read a lot of times. Right. You can read a lot of times where it said God was with somebody and the person died. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God was John the Baptist?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He got his head cut off.
Exactly. So God with you don't necessarily mean you will win or even survive. So we got to pay attention to what that means, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was not like I didn't. Honestly, when we read it, my husband read it, it was not so we didn't believe that the Most High can do anything. It's just one of those things where what does that mean, and how do you, how do you look at it? Because I personally agree, because I personally agree with even, like, the part with slavery, because he had a hand in all that, you know what I mean? And he had, like, you remember last time you were saying that he did the slavery, but then when it said that they went overboard, and you was like, he was even part of that. Because he controlled all. Yeah.
Right.
Like, Like, I honestly agree. Because, like you said, when you look at stuff, you realize the Most High is behind it all.
That's right.
Hold on. My husband wanted to say something. And I'm sorry, when I first began talking to you, I was kind of, like, nervous because I was like, how can I put the question? So, all right, here you go. Thank you, though, for the time.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shabbat Shalom, my brother Josh and Big Baby, the rest of ABT listening.
Shabbat Shalom.
How y'all doing? Yeah, that question. Yeah, this was a great lesson. First and foremost, about the no cowards and stuff. And whenever I think of that, I always think of the story in Second Maccabees. I think seventh chapter. Yeah, with the mom and her seven sons. King tried to make them eat the pork, and they didn't want to. And then the king tortured all seven of her sons. And then the bravest out of all seven was her youngest son. And that story is just, oh, man, that's, I would encourage anybody to read that story in Second Maccabees, because that whole family was, like, fearless. And they wasn't even about to even put their lips on no kind of pork.
That's right.
Yeah, and my question my wife had, that came, she had that question for a while because she was watching, you told me watch your older debates on your debate against a war of swordsmen on a virgin birth, and then she watched the old one with Polite, and Polite used that verse to say, look how weak your God is. He couldn't even stop iron your chariots. And then she went back and read it, and he's like, Polite was right on that. The Most High didn't stop the chariots, and Israel ran like a bunch of cowards, I guess. And then I was like, ask Josh about it, because if he wanted to, like I was trying to say the same thing, if he wanted to, because I don't know if it's that same battle, but didn't he make the sun stand still for a certain period of time so they can keep fighting? Yeah.
But there wasn't a same battle. That was in the book of Joshua. What your wife was talking about in the book of Judges after Joshua was dead.
Okay. Yeah, I was telling her, like, because first they thought Polite was with the Bible, because the first time they saw him, he was going against Harry Rosenberg, and he was, like, for the side of brothers in the camps and in the truth in Israel. And when he debated Harry Rosenberg, they thought, like, he was, like, good. I was like, nah, Polite got – he, like, you know – y'all gotta watch all his other stuff first, and then come back to me. So she was watching his other stuff, and she was like, "That brother confused. He real smart and really articulate, but yeah, he like throw it forward, man." I told y'all you can't trust them people in the conscious community. I like just stay home, just stay in the Bible. And this lesson was great. I think much needed in these times. With I'll be guilty of it too. I'll hear a story and I'm like, y'all hear about this? Y'all hear about that? Not to necessarily provoke fear, but to just like keep them in current events of what's going on in the world, because the mainstream news ain't gonna tell them everything. Yeah, mainstream news is like real biased, real one sided. But yeah, awesome lesson, brother.
Great God. And we got to be careful, man, that we don't become mouthpieces for spreading, you know what I'm saying, fear among each other. But right now, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is Brother Gregory from last week. That's you, Brother Greg?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing, Brother Josh?
I'm blessed, brother. Glad to hear from you again.
Yeah, Shalom, man. I'm great class. Appreciate you, a Big Baby. Appreciate it. I just had a question. It's kind of pertaining to the class. I have another friend, and we both missed that knowledge a little bit more, but he's one of those people who...
Excuse me, brother. Let me just mute you real quick just to let you know. You kind of love... Can I raise your volume up a little bit? I'm going to put you back in, but can you speak a little louder? It's kind of hard for me to hear you. I'm laying you back in now.
Okay, can you hear me any better?
Yeah, you sound a little better now.
Hold on, let me see if I can take this earpiece off. See how that works. What about now? Can you hear me better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yeah, so I was saying that one of my friends that I discuss different things with, and he's one of those news people. He keep up with current events and different things like that, and I'm not one that I don't keep up with it. But my question is, I did a few years ago, I got into, I don't know if you've ever seen them, like these people, they're actually called doomsday preppers. I don't go for that. But I am consider myself somewhat like a prepper. Like if I can afford to store things for my family, you know, like whenever the COVID thing hit, we didn't have to go out to buy tissue and napkins and whatever the things that they was doing. I just later just replenished the stuff that I have. So do you think prepping is a fear?
Well, it all depends. If you see reasonable and rational reasons to prep, it is not a fear, it's just being smart. You follow what I'm saying? It all depends on your mindset while you're doing it. It's one thing to be prepared or to try to get prepared, but it's another thing to be irrational and out of your mind and worry and stuff like that and operating out of that. You follow what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with preparing. I mean, think about it. We all prepare for things in some sort of way. If you got any money saved in the bank, that's a form of preparation, right? If the winter is coming, and you stay in a place where, you know, it's going to be a lot of snow and it can be slippery, you may buy you some snow tires. That's just ordinary preparation. You know, that's why people say money for a rainy day. They don't mean you're scared out of your mind of a rainy day that could happen. That just means you're trying to make sure you're ready for it. As long as you're not panic shopping and not operationing illogic and things like that, then you're fine. That doesn't mean you're a coward or you're fearful. If you're just operating naturally, because that's what human beings, that's part of our nature. We naturally prepare for things to come. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's like if you have a baby on the way, right, or you already got a baby here, and now the baby's starting to walk. That means if you go out through your house and you got wall sockets, you put what they call baby proofs into the wall sockets. I think about stuff like this because I'm an electrician. That's called baby proof in the house. That doesn't mean you're scared to death that your baby's going to stick their hand into a socket and get electrocuted. You're just preparing just in case. So don't confuse rational preparation with being scared out of your mind. That scared out of your mind is what you saw with this gas situation and with this COVID and that toilet paper and that hand sanitizer.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to just ask that question because I was rolling around in my head and all this class. I was like, well, wait a minute. Am I falling in this category? Because I don't do it out of fear and out of stuff like that. I just do it like you said, as a sense of just preparation. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that whenever certain things happen and people go into panic, I don't want to be one of those ones. And so it's kind of forward thinking for me. That's just how I operate. And like I said, I kind of got to those prepper videos, just looking at some type of just different information, but not in the sense of fearing like what they have their video titled as a doomsday preppers. You know, not in that sense, but just understanding how people prepare, how you preserve food, how you can have different things like that. So I was just wondering if that was kind of drawing me to the irrational vibe. But you asked my question. I understand. I appreciate the question.
Praise God, brother. Praise God. And even the Bible itself tells us that, you know, we're supposed to be prepared for, you know, things to come. Like, you know, things that we can actually prepare for. And that's another thing, too. If it's something you can actually prepare for, then that doesn't mean you're being irrational. If it's something bad about to happen, say if something bad was about to happen and somebody put a video out about it, and it was something we could actually prepare for and avoid, then that's not irrational. That's not being a fearmonger. Because that makes sense. That's why I say, man, if somebody comes to me with a video about something and there's nothing we can do about it and you're just scaring me, then I'm going to be like, look, you're just a fearmonger. We're going to move down the line here. Let me see what we got here. We have the legendary, one-of-a-kind,
We call him ABT Ice-T. We call him Cutoff Kev, Big Daddy Kev, you know what I'm saying? And also even Shownuff Kev, courtesy of the Haba family. This is Brother Kevin. Go ahead, brother.
What's going on, Josh, Big Baby, ABT? How y'all doing?
We blessed, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just want to call in, echo some of the comments that other people have mentioned in that this was an excellent class. This is one I love classes on fear because it's seldom spoken of. It's set in Christian circles. It's seldom talked about, especially from the perspective of having fear being a coward to get you thrown in hell. You almost never hear people talk like that, even though it's clear as day in the Bible. They'll tend to focus on other sins, but not the sin of cowardice. And to that point, as you were speaking, like throughout your class, I thought a lot about Christians, but not just Christians, like Republican Christians, conservative Christians, because I see them make this mistake all the time. Not so much people who identify like Democrats or liberals. Like, I mean, they'll show fear for sure, but it's like the Republicans and the conservatives' fear is weird because those are the people, by and large, who carry around a Bible and talk about God bless America and all this other stuff. The thing that bothers me about that is, you know, they'll say things like they believe in God and it's a God-fearing country, but yet they'll do things like you said, you know, share a video on, oh, this is going to happen, the government's going to do this, the globalists are going to do that. And, like, to me, the biggest offender in this regard is, like, an Alex Jones type. And I like Alex Jones, I do. But this is, like, a major issue I have with him because he identifies as a Christian, yet at the same time daily does nothing but promote, talk about issues and bad news that really no one could do anything about. Like, and a lot of people will echo a lot of what he says. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, we gotta stop the globalists. We got to stop the people who are trying to destroy this country, who are trying to destroy this world. And I'm always like what you said in class, how that's supposed to get done? Because I do believe that there's a global agenda. I do believe that there are high-level aristocrats that are, you know, putting in the executing the steps to usher us into a new world order, as we read about last week, specifically with the Mark of the Beast. I believe all of that. The issue I have is I see a lot of conservatives thinking they can actually stop that. And the thing that bothers me about that is all throughout the Bible, you read how God, like you just were speaking to Haas's wife about essentially God being a puppet master. And if we know that and believe that God is a puppet master, how are you supposed to stop the puppet master when you're a puppet? You can't affect right. The way that he operates with the strings. You see what I'm saying? So case in point, Numbers chapter 14, right? This is a good example. I was talking to my brother about this not too long ago. But, you know, Numbers chapter 14 I think is a good example, specifically verse 9, because it's in the text of when Israel – when the scouts had went to the land of Canaan, brought back a bad report, brought back bad news, and, you know, gave that bad news to the rest of the Israelites, and the Israelites became fearful by and large, with the exception of a handful, your Calebs, your Joshuas. But I'll start in verse 6 and read down to verse 9. This is what I thought was interesting. It says this. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." So the thing that I keyed in on, Josh, was the part that, you know, the fact that God removed the land of Canaan's protection. Think about that, because look at it from the if you're a citizen of the land of Canaan during this time, and you hear about this outside threat that's coming to destroy your country, you're going to resist, as we saw the Canaanites, or as we read the Canaanites do. They resisted, like, who are these people coming to take our land, coming to take our country? You're trying to destroy what's ours. Same thing that people say in America. These globalists are trying to do this. China's trying to do this. We're not going to let them destroy this country. But if God has decided to remove your nation's protection, what in the world are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Right.
So there's no amount of writing your congressman, writing your senators, there's no amount of video sharing you can do, there's no amount of trying to spread the word that's going to mean anything. Because like I said last week, the only thing we can do when we're talking about national sins here, like we know that God got a cup for like every nation, and when that cup is filled, then the wrath gets poured out. So if you as a righteous person are doing what you got to do, you're fearing God, you're keeping his commandments, unfortunately, you can't affect the course that your nation goes down. You can't affect that. All you can do is save yourself. So, like, the Canaanites, they didn't want to be taken over. They didn't want to be destroyed as a nation, right? They fought tooth and nail. Didn't matter because God removed the protection. So we're all subject to God, which is my point, which is what my point is. So since we're all subject to God and his will, there's really no sense being fearful about the news that comes out daily or being afraid of the globalists. Like I said, Alex Jones, always afraid of what the globalists are talking about, always thinking like he can stop them. And I'm like, bro, that's absolute nonsense that you can stop the globalists. If you believe that they're ushering in the one world order and you believe that the things written in this book, and you know that the end times are going to feature everybody worshiping one dude, do you really think you're going to stop that agenda? It's craziness to me. But that's all I wanted to say, man. Great, great class as always. And, you know, I'll be back next week, Lord willing.
Praise God, Kev. Praise God. And I'm glad that these particular classes speak to you, because fear, as you pointed out, is not something that's readily discussed in most Christian circles, or any circles for that matter. And we need a friendly reminder that we need to go back to that point where Christians were considered the most brave and fearless people on the planet, because that's what they were. Nowadays, people want to paint Christians as weak and timid and scared of their own shadows, and maybe a lot of them are. But back in the day, that was not the case. We are supposed to be the bravest. We are supposed to be the most faithful. We are supposed to be the most powerful, not necessarily physically, but spiritually and mentally. So we got to get back to that, and I'm going to see to it that we do. You know, if I got anything to say about it. But I don't see anybody else on the switchboard, you know, so if anybody else got anything they want to add or whatever, press 1 now or hold your peace. It's the next Sabbath. This is your time. Okay, I think the prince is back. Go ahead, prince.
Shalom, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. And oops, I already know what you're calling for. You just reminded me. The question that you asked me on Facebook, yes, I did get that. I forgot all about that. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Now, unfortunately, I will have to play it again to remember it. So give me a second, all right?
Yeah, and I was going
to both
let everybody know that if they have a question, they can email you or, like, send you a message for if they, like me. I had a question during the week, and I didn't want to forget the question, so I just Facebooked it to you so you can answer on Shabbat, and I just wanted everybody else also to know if they have a question, they can email it, text message it, or, like, write it on Facebook. So that if they forget throughout the week, that you can just they can remind you that they asked you a question for Shabbat. So that's all. And yeah, I just would like that question answered that I sent you earlier.
And that is a brilliant idea too, because I've had people tell me plenty of times that they had a question during the week and they forgot what it was and they got on the Sabbath, right? So by doing this, this will allow people to get their questions in. And they'll be able to have them ready for the Sabbath. Let me see. Let me pull this up. because I got a lot of people that I be messaging. What's your name on Facebook again? Ariel Inspires. What is it?
It's Anthony Salamon.
I got it. Okay, I'm gonna play it. Tell me if you can hear it when I play it across my speaker. Can you hear this? It's gonna let it do it. Okay, could you hear that?
Nah.
You couldn't?
So far.
Okay, how about now? Hello. Did you hear that?
So far.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to do it through my computer. I tried to do it through my phone. I'm gonna pull it up and play it on my computer and just put it up, the phone up near it so y'all can hear it. That sounds like a great idea. Let me see. Here we go. And that is a good idea. That way, if you forget your question, you can email it to me. You can text it to me or whatever. And I'll answer it on the Sabbath. Here we go. Wait a minute. This is different. You're the Ariel Inspired. You got two accounts?
Yeah, I got a professional and then my personal.
That's what it is, because the one on my computer takes me to your professional one. I'm trying to go to the Anthony. Come on now. There we go, Anthony Wagner. It took me to the Ariel one on my computer. Okay, here we go. I'm about to put this up against my speaker. I know you should be able to hear this now. Here we go. I know you heard that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to answer your question, you said separate the person from the profession or the art from the artist. It all depends on what that profession is. Because some people's profession is an extension of who they are. And I'll give you an example. Like, if, for instance, LeBron James, he's a professional basketball player, right? But if he did something that is known as unsportsmanlike, then they consider that part of him, even though it's something he did as part of his profession. Like, for instance, if you were always getting the fights on the basketball court and stuff like that, just on the basketball court, never in real life, never outside of his profession, just that, they would call it unprofessional, but that still is a reflection on his character, even though it's just a reflection on his character as it pertains to his profession. So there are times when you can separate the person from the profession and times when you can't. It all depends on the profession. If your profession is a prostitute, then you can't separate the person from the profession because the profession reflects their character. And being a prostitute is a reflection of your character, your morals. You know what I'm saying? That means you have bad morals, even though that's your profession. So it all depends. There are times also, like, if you are an actor, if you're playing the role of a murderer and yet you've never murdered anybody in real life, then that's the case of time where you can separate the person from their profession, because it's not really them. You follow what I'm saying? So in some acting roles, that would be a good example of you separating the person from their profession. You understand? You got that?
Yeah, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. I said, did you get that?
So it all depends on the context, pretty much. For example, like you said, with
and the
actor.
Profession.
Yeah.
And the profession. It depends on the profession, yeah. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Yeah, makes sense. It's cool. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And Hava is back now. Let's see what he has to add. Go ahead, Hava, my brother.
Yeah, I was just wondering, with this lesson and the last week's lesson about the mark of the beast, would you say, mm-hmm. or is there a relationship between God's mark, like Satan has a mark and God has a mark? Is that accurate?
Yes, I did a whole class on that. Yes, I did a whole class
I had a feeling
on that.
And it's his mark, because you know how you teach the Torah has a root word, which I didn't know, but you said Torah has a root word called Yara, and Yara
mm-hmm.
means like to shoot at or to aim at a mark.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a archer. And I think you
and
a while ago you said
and what was the root word of sin? Do you remember?
And you said sin means to miss the mark.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Would you say the Shema, what they call Deuteronomy 6 and 8? It says, "And thou shalt bind them," talking about his law, statutes, and commandments. "Thou shalt bind them for a sign between thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes," kind of like on your
mm-hmm.
on your hand and on your forehead. So
correct.
I was just wondering, am I seeing the same thing as you did the lesson a while ago? I probably wasn't around then, but is that going with the mark?
Yes, I pointed out that exact parallel in Deuteronomy. Yes.
Wow. Oh, okay. All praises, man. Awesome. I might listen to that one. Yeah, because
right.
I always wonder about that.
What is the mark of the beast? I think it's titled, What is the Mark of the Beast? Or will the mark of the beast be a literal mark or something like that? I know I got at least one mark of the beast class. I've done like 4 or 5 mark of the beast classes. And I think I got I got at least one of them in my online store.
And is that going with God's mark? Yeah, because I always hear people talk about the mark of the beast, but I never hear them talk about
the opposite of the mark of God.
Okay.
Yes, it's the opposite. That's why even if the mark of the beast ends up being something literal that we can see, it's still a spiritual mark. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's
right.
still a spiritual mark, because it's an allegiance to Satan, just like the mark of God means an allegiance to God.
Okay, yeah, because I never heard, like going up in churches, I always heard about the mark of the beast, but I never heard about God having a mark, too. And when I was, when you was breaking down what Torah and Yara means and to miss the mark, and then I was like, wait, the Shema talking about his commandments being on your hand and your frontlets. And I was like, I bet you Josh got a lesson on it. That's what I was wondering in my mind. Like, as soon as I ask him, he going to say, I got a lesson for that.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I won't hold you too long. My last question would be, you do a great job reclaiming that the Bible is plagiarized from Egypt and the Book of the Dead. Do you have a rebuttal
mm-hmm.
for people that and what other woke circles would say that the Bible is plagiarized from the Anunnaki,
the
from Mesopotamia?
The who?
The Anunnaki. You ever heard of them?
Oh, you talking about the Enuma Elish and the Epic of Gilgamesh. You're talking about that.
Yeah.
That's what all of that is, by the way. I haven't officially put none apart, but I can refute that easily. That's real easy to refute.
Okay, because they say that's where Moses came from, and that's where the Bible came from, because that outdates the Bible. Because they said that's even older than Egypt, ancient Mesopotamia and all those lands.
Or Babylon. See, what people don't understand is this, and sometimes as believers, we even forget this. Abraham existed before there was a Bible. Israel,
mm-hmm.
even the Bible tells you this,
Israel is a baby among the nations. How do you know this?
Right.
When Abraham left up out of Ur of Chaldees, it says he went down to Egypt. Egypt was already thriving and around. If the nation of Israel came out of Abraham, and Abraham was already dealing with Egyptians and stuff before Israel even was born, then you know these nations already were around, which means they already had some documentation and history of the God of creation. See, what Israelites do is they paint themselves into a corner, and this is what they do. They'll say the Bible is the word of God, and I believe that too. But the way you paint themselves into a corner is they try to make the Bible out to be the oldest document on the planet, and it is not. But what the aggressors try to do is try to make oldest equate to most authentic or equate to best. That is not true. God decided, relatively speaking, late in the history of man to reveal himself to man as a nation, and that nation was Israel. But long before that, the other nations had knowledge of the God of creation, because before he was known as the God of Israel, he was just the God of creation. He did not become known as the God of Israel until he adopted Israel as his nation, as his people.
Right. That's,
right?
And that's why and not, they call nations, him like that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And oh, no, I'm sorry I cut you off. I was just saying, like, when I first heard that, I said the same thing. I said all these other nations have a similar story to the Bible. Like, ancient China has a flood story. Ancient Egypt has a flood story. Ancient Mesopotamia has a flood story. And most of them have, like, a flood story with 8 survivors and stuff like that. So I say it wasn't plagiarized. I just say it was all around with
no,
that
they're
story.
All just testifying. It's not plagiarism. It's everybody. Like, for instance, have you ever seen when 9/11 happened, was Channel 5 the only news media on the scene reporting it? Were they the only people reporting
it? Not the whole world was on the scene.
Other media outlets were reporting it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So just because I turn on Channel 5 and I see footage on 9/11, and then I turn on Channel 2 and see footage on 9/11, I'm not going to assume that Channel 2 plagiarized it from Channel 5. What I'm going to assume is that both Channel 5 and Channel 2 are reporting about the same event and giving their perspective on what they think happened. That's what happened in ancient times. When Noah got off the flood, he had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah was a preacher. The Bible tells you that. The book of Joshua tells you that. Noah was a preacher. You don't think Noah taught his sons anything about the God of creation?
No, I'm with you, brother. I always say all the other stories, that just proves the Bible to be true. If everybody in the world at the time is saying it, then that tells you that it happened, not that they stole it from somebody.
The Epic of Gilgamesh and the Enuma Elish, right? And I got these stories in one of my references.
That's
one of my reference books.
That's known.
I have
that's known as the Sumerian Kings List, right?
The Sumerian tablets and things of that. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, okay.
And it talks about the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki are not what most people make them out to be. This is not plagiarism. This is the ancient Mesopotamians or the ancient Sumerians giving their view on the God of creation, combined with, you know, additions and paganism and stuff like that. All of these other nations have distorted versions of the God of creation. They have paganized them. They have given him partners and all of these things. That's why when Israel became a nation late in history, Israel is a nation born late in history, God told these people are pagan. See, before God introduced himself to Israel, by the time Israel was born, paganism was the norm. People knowing who the true and living God was like few and in short supply. And even these people were individuals. God didn't have like a nationality as far as we're concerned. He was just like very few people knew about him. Even Abraham didn't know about him when he was born. Abraham wasn't born into the faith. You know what I'm saying? Abraham was born a pagan. You know?
Right.
That's what he was born. Mm-hmm. Right? And
yeah,
he had to be introduced. Now, of course, they had oral traditions and stuff, and there were legends about the true and living God. You know, Moses had to learn about the true and living God. Right? The true and living Israel had to be introduced back to the true and living God. You follow what I'm saying? So we look at stuff like this. Right. These other nations, mm-hmm. this is not plagiarism. This is just all the nations testifying to the same event with varying degrees on how it happened and who was involved. But this is not plagiarism. They just claim plagiarism mm-hmm. because one came after the other. Plagiarism, by definition, means to steal directly from somebody else's material without giving them credit. The Bible did not do that. Plus, if you just look at the history and the geographic location, all this stuff, plagiarism would be impossible. I did, by the way, I got a class on that too, called It's the Bible Plagiarized. That's on my online store too.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, a lot of deep knowledge, man. Stuff you'll never hear in mainstream church.
Praise God. And I think sure enough, cut off Kev is back. Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, man, I just want to chime in real quick, listen to your conversation, and give you praise on the nuance that you display, particularly with that topic, because as you both were talking, I was thinking about another issue that a lot of Hebrews have, or Messianics, or whatever you want to call them, like Hebrew roots folks is. They'll look at, like, it's always like this preeminence thing, like, oh, well, the commandments were before, like, because the whole issue I'm thinking about is the whole commandments, and you'll have people say, like, well, before, the Israelites were on the scene, like, God was expecting everybody to keep his commandments. They didn't, but Abraham did. And I used to buy into that, but then, I don't know, man. I don't buy that anymore. And you've kind of shown this nuance as well, where you've said things like, "Hey, prior to Sinai, we don't have any proof that anybody was keeping the 613 at all, other than point blank period at all, because it wasn't given to everybody; it was given to Israel." Was Abraham righteous? Of course he was. Did he keep God's commandments? Of course he did. The commandments that God told him to keep, which wasn't all of the six, which wasn't the 613. And as you just talking about, like, how, people forget that Israel's a young nation, and people forget that, God introduced himself relatively late to a nation. I think those are all key points. And particularly with the commandments, one of the things that I think about is like Nehemiah chapter 9, where I think it's like verse 13 or like 14, something like that, where like, Nehemiah or I forget who's talking, maybe the priest, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like either the priest, Nehemiah himself, were telling the Israelites, like, hey, we learned about these commandments from Moses. Like, that's how we learned about this. Like, and that always blew my mind, because I'm like, wait a minute, like, if these commandments were around prior to Moses, then what are these guys talking about? They're like literally telling us that this is where we got it from, and this and Moses made it known to us. So, like I said, man, like, you're one of the few out here that shows like supreme nuance. I say this in a good way. You're always tap dancing, through these issues, around these issues. And I know a lot of people, use that phrase as like a derogatory term. I'm using it as a good term, because, like, take a lot of skill to tap dance, man. Take a lot of skill to do all that ballet. You know what I'm saying? All them pirouetting. So, I just want to say you do a good job, man. Like, it's why I've been around for a while, because you know, you put in the time, dude, and, you know, I rock with people who put in the time to study his word. So, and great question as well from Haza. He's always, him and his family always bringing out great questions. So I appreciate that as a listener. But that was it, man. I'm out. I'll be back next week.
Praise God. Cut out, Kale. Praise God. And we'll let you be the last one for today. But I think this is the sign from the Most High that I need to do a class talking about the Anunnaki, because somebody earlier this week asked me about that, or it was last week, but this is the second time I definitely, maybe it was somebody on my job, but this is the second time it don't came up to me, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to deal with this. So the second I find my source material book, it's a book that I got. It's a good book, too. I told KC about it. I think he got a copy of it, too, but it's like a history book about religion. I forget the name of it. I quote it all the time, too. But it talks about the Anunnaki. And I want to do a class on that because people keep talking about these Anunnaki. And they don't be knowing what they're talking about. And they go on social media and they be spreading this stuff. And I need to just tell people what the Anunnaki was and what they did. In fact, I got my old notebook. And anybody who don't believe me, I can screenshot them in my old notebook. I was going to do a whole documentary exposing Polite and Young Pharaoh about the lies they've told about the Anunnaki. And I can show y'all the notes to that thing. I can screenshot y'all the notes because I got a lot of information on that. And I got video clips of the stuff they did lying about that. So I was going to do that years ago. I mean, we're talking like 5-6 years ago, I was going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere around that time frame. So anyway, I appreciate everybody coming out. You know, we got started late today, but it's all good. You know, we'll be back on track next week. You know, so I appreciate all the donations, appreciate all the help that the Nickerson do in the chat room and everybody else who just tuned in the chat room. And, of course, the Haza family for giving me, I mean, y'all don't understand how many classes Haza has given me just off of some of the questions he asked alone. You know what I'm saying? And I remember y'all used to do that. And, of course, Kev just straight up request classes. And I also, Kev, and I have not forgot about the series, The Laws That Are Impossible to Keep. I have not forgotten about that. I'm going to be on Volume 2. That's going to keep going because people still need to hear about that. I haven't forgotten about that series. I'm going to jump back on that. But if there's nothing else, peace to everybody. Y'all make sure y'all stay blessed. Continue to pray for each other and look out for each other. We are out.